Joel Lars loving it. New Arcade Fire sounding great, says Fiona Green. This is Unreal, says Adam Perkins. Sounds great, says Marie France. Mariano loves it. Heist loves it. Sounds damn good, says Colin. So damn good, says the Arcade Fire Tube, which is a place you need to go online if you want to get the information that perhaps the band aren't even willing to hand out just yet. That is brand new from Arcade Fire. Track is called Afterlife, and of course we have to accompany that with something special. We say good evening to Will from Arcade Fire. How are you?
Excellent, how are you?
Although I'm not 100% sure this is Will, because in your current mood, anything is possible. You've been tricking us all a little bit lately, mate.
I am Will, but I am wearing a mask. So,
it's important to clear that up. I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. You guys sound like you're having a lot of fun rolling this record out. What can you tell us about that song and how it came together over the course of the 70-plus music that appear on the record?
That song started with a Haitian percussion loop we recorded way back at the end of the Suburbs tour. And it kind of slowly built up and built up around there. And it went through a bunch of different variations. It took a while to get the chorus right.
Tell us a little bit about, you know, some of the other unique challenges that went into the making of this record, given the length of songs and how it all sort of spreads out.
It is a lot of fun music, but a lot of fun music that goes on for, like, if you're watching a movie, a really great movie, and then it gets into the third hour, you're like, oh, maybe this great movie's a little boring, or maybe this great movie's a little loud. It was a lot of that, and there was a lot of trying to figure out how focused we wanted to be, if we wanted it to be, you know, Remain in Light or Sandinista, and I think it's slightly more Sandinista.
It's lovely you referenced that, because when I was listening to Afterlife, you know, there are definitely hints as well of that kind of era of Talking Heads when they were at their most dance floor orientated. And looking at the way you guys have approached the performance live as well, you know, the fact that you're enjoying, you know, dressing up and embracing that side of things, it sort of almost feels like you're taking it back. There's also hints of like Studio 54 and the glamour of being in a band that seems to be missing a lot nowadays.
I mean, I'm very happy with the work compared to Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band, but I think we'll get a few less Bruce Springsteen comparisons this time around.
I mean, you know, when you're showing up to secret shows in limos and you're asking everybody to dress up and you know, in costume and fancy dress and things like that, it must be such a nice kind of relief for a band that have been considered, even though we know that you have a good sense of humor, we know who you are, you know, fans do, but you know, you are considered to be this kind of very earnest rock and roll band. It must be really nice to play with that.
We are really lighthearted, and we're a bunch of weird art school kids, fundamentally. It's exciting to let that side out, certainly. Can it last another night? After all the bad advice, I had nothing at all.
Disco fabulousness. I think the band would be very happy with that, Paul. Akimbo loves it. Lovelace just says incredible. Surely they're contenders for a Glastonbury headline slot next year. Sarah has her 7-year-old dancing to Afterlife right now, live on Radio 1. Listening to the premiere of Afterlife and crying, obviously. This next album from Arcade Fire is going to be rough on my heartstrings, says Jay. Best band ever, says Jordan Fish. They're having fun, that's what I like about it. White suits, sunglasses. Not that stage, this stage. Oh, hi, everybody, we're in a limo, or are we? Who's behind the mask? I don't know. James Murphy taking them to the dance floor. It's exciting. It's future.